Om Shanti 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 Om. Peace. And greetings. Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to see your smiling faces. And I said smiling faces. Why did we come to Satsang? Who knows? We actually have no say in the matter. Some inner power pushes us here. You can call this power Shakti, consciousness. Whatever you call this power doesn't matter. But there's something within you that has brought you here. Well, this is the place that you have to be tonight. Why? There's no reason. Do not try to figure anything out. That's the worst thing you can ever do. Just try to look for a reason why things happen, why you're here, why you're not here, why certain things happen to you in your life, at home. Never try to figure this out. If you learn to be centered and live spontaneously in the moment, then you will find everything takes care of itself and you're happy all the time. But when you try to figure things out, why this has happened, why that's happened, you find that you get completely confused. And you know what to do with yourself. Leave things alone. The universe knows what it's doing. It doesn't need any help from you. Leave everything alone and watch what happens. When you try to interfere with the process, you cause pain for yourself, misery for yourself. But as you leave things alone, the true self, the I Am, comes into play and takes over your so-called life, your humanhood, whatever that is. And you'll find that you're always in the right place, doing the right things, and everything is unfolding as it should. As we become deeply involved in Advaita, non-duality, we find that all the teachings in Advaita since the beginning of time tell us that all we have to do is to make the mind quiescent, to make the mind calm, peaceful, relaxed, to quiet the mind, and then you'll be self-realized. In Buddhism, they say to kill the mind. In Hinduism, they say to control the mind. In all the great religions in the world, they always go back to the mind when they realize that's where all the problems come from, that's where the error comes from, that's where the misconceptions come from, the mind. In other words, the mind's got to go. But trying to kill the mind is really a metaphor. All of the ways of getting rid of the mind is a metaphor. You don't really want to get rid of the mind. But just by thinking this, the mind becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. You know yourself every time you try to quiet the mind, the mind becomes louder and louder. Whenever you try to remove thoughts from the mind, the thoughts become stronger and stronger. So what is the way to do this? Look at it like this. There's a wall, an imaginary wall between consciousness and the mind and the thoughts. The thoughts and the mind are synonymous. As you try to get rid of the thoughts, you come up against the wall, you come to a dead end. Therefore, the real way to lose the mind is to get rid of the wall, not the thoughts. The so-called invisible wall that separates consciousness from the thoughts. And you do this by not trying to remove any thoughts or change any thoughts or kill any thoughts. You merely remove the wall, and the thoughts will take care of themselves. They'll move past the wall into consciousness, and only consciousness will prevail, which is your real self. You do this by becoming very calm, very peaceful, very relaxed. And allow the thoughts to do what they will. Do not interfere with them. Just let them do what they will. If they wish to be angry with you, let them be angry. If your thoughts wish to tell you things about people, let them tell you things about people. Do not try to change your thoughts. Merely do not react to them. That's what you've got to do. Do not react to your thoughts. Never react to the thoughts. No matter if they're good thoughts or bad thoughts or in between. Thoughts are thoughts. They're all illusions. And they cause you pain and problems. We have identified with the mind, somehow, somewhere. Our mind never existed. Yet you've identified with it. But if I ask you to show me your mind, you can't do this. You can't show me the mind, where will you find it? If we talk about the mind, as if it were an entity, as if it were a power that can do something to us, when in truth the mind cannot do a thing to us because it doesn't exist. So you remove the wall that appears to be between the reality and the thoughts, the mind. When the wall is removed, the thoughts will flow by themselves into the consciousness, and you will awaken. As simple as that. There are no mantras you have to do. There are no forms of meditation you have to do. There are no pranayamas that you have to do, there are no yoga exercises you have to do. There's absolutely nothing you have to do. Just get rid of the wall, and you'll be home free. Yet it's not as easy as it sounds. Due to the fact that some of us have really made a mess of ourselves. and the mind has become very powerful. So the fear is. The mind has become very strong. It controls you totally and completely. Isn't this true? Look at your life just for the day. Think how your mind has controlled you. Think of some incident that happened to you today. Where you have reacted to the mind because the mind told you something. It makes no difference whether it's true or not. As long as you react to the mind and the thoughts, then you're making a grave mistake. As you keep thinking about what I'm saying, as you keep reflecting on the wall, that you have to get rid of the wall between the mind and consciousness, you will stop fighting and reacting to life just by thinking about this. You will not react to person, place, or thing any longer. For you'll realize that all incidents come from the mind. Everything comes out of the mind. All of your conditioning comes out of the mind. All of your belief system. Everything that's ever existed that exists right now is a product of the mind. Where else would it come from? The world as it appears, the planets, the universe, all the things you do at home, all the work that you do, your belief system, it all comes out of the mind, like a dream. You're dreaming the mortal dream. And this world appears to be very real to you. Yet when you believe it to be actually a mirage, when you begin to feel it doesn't exist at all, by allowing it to go into the consciousness, by removing the wall, then something happens to you, something wonderful, something grand. It's like the light is shown in your heart. Your heart opens up, swallows your body, your past, your karmas, samskaras. Everything is totally and highly annihilated. Everything totally disappears. And you are left as a self with a pure awareness, unbounded space, boundless space. You have become boundless space. When the mind has gone into consciousness, you are no longer the body. Remember, body is part of the mind. This body that you speak of every day is part of this mind that I'm talking about. It's a product of imagination, the mind. So when the mind is gone, there's no body left. And there's only consciousness, which is all pervading, omnipresent, pure awareness. Then you feel yourself as being the trees, the mountains, the sky, the planets, others. You begin to feel your oneness with all of life. This is when you develop a reverence for all of life. For you understand everything in this universe is you. Everything. It's come from you and returns to you. You are the one. And there's nobody else. There's nothing else but the one, you are that. Think about this. Yet you ask, I still appear as a body. This is what you say in your present state of ignorance. This is what you say where you're coming from now, that you appear as a body. But when you receive a glimpse of awakening, you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's no body. You're not the body at all. Yet you appear to be doing things. You appear to be the doer. This appearance to others. The enlightened one is never the doer, has no body, does nothing. Nothing's ever being done. But paradoxically, it appears to others as if the enlightened one is doing things just like yourself. This is the reason you have to experience this for yourself. To understand this paradox. Only when you experience this for yourself will you understand the gist of what I'm talking about. For right now, just words. Just a bunch of words. Yet I can promise you that unalloyed happiness is your very nature. Bliss is your very self, right now. Right now you are this bliss, this unalloyed happiness, this total joy, this divine love. You are that right now. Only you're experiencing something else. We're deeply involved in a mortal dream. It hangs heavy on you. You've got to lighten up. Stop taking the world so seriously. Do not take conditions so seriously. Do not take people so seriously. Do not react to person, place, or thing. That's where it all begins, in your reaction. You have to learn to catch yourself every moment of the day. Every time you make a mistake and react to something, catch yourself. See yourself doing it. And stop. Think of the wall between consciousness and the mind. You can imagine in your mind that the wall is breaking down like a Berlin wall. It's coming apart in pieces. It's being totally shattered. And there's no longer two of you. There's no longer the mind and the consciousness. The mind and the thoughts have gone into the mind, the consciousness, and you're free. As you keep practicing this every day, things will begin to change for you. You will notice the change very simply happening to you day after day after day. This is the most important job that you have to do. No thing is more important than this. This is the number one priority in your life. What could be more important? What can possibly be more important than finding yourself? Knowing yourself. paying yourself. What can possibly be more important than this? Yet, most of you become so concerned with today's activities, with what's going on in your personal life, that you forget totally what I'm talking about, and you keep turning towards the things of the world, whether it's your health, or lack of limitation of some kind, loneliness, whatever. Those things are all false images. They're not reality whatsoever. And they're only here for a while, and they will go. Everything must change. Even if you look at it in a material way, in a relative way, you know by now that every relative thing in this world must change. The whole world of the universe is never the same. What this means to you is that your situation will change sooner or later, regardless of conditioning. It must change. So what you call suffering comes for a day. What you call human happiness comes for a day. All of your imaginings are only here for a short time, and they go. Even if you do absolutely nothing about it, they will change anyway. Everything changes. So you ask, why should I do anything at all? Why should I practice anything? Just the fact that things will change, but they will change from the relative to the relative. You will keep on experiencing the relative world forever and ever and ever. You'll experience good, you'll experience bad, you'll experience all kinds of things in this relative world. It will change, okay, but you'll have to keep experiencing the changes forever. And when you drop the body, you will appear to be going into another body. You go through the same conditioning, the same situation, again and again and again and again. There'll be no end to it. Like dreaming. Having one dream after the other, one dream after the other, never ends. Unless you wake up. And so it is with this. When you awaken, there's no longer duality. There's no longer good and bad, sick and healthy, rich and poor, happy and sad. It has all been transcended, totally transcended, completely. You will become one of these rare sages that was never born, can never die, does not prevail. You will become nothing. Which is the pure self. This is the reason not too many people are attracted to Advaita Vedanta, to non-duality. Because this was difficult for most people to comprehend. Most people are stuck in a spot in time. They go through many relative phenomena, good and bad, off and on. And they're always trying to change bad for good. Always trying to remove the bad and not on the good. But they're both impostures. You should never try to do this. You're wasting your energy. You should be using your energy to become totally free and liberated. Never try to make yourself a millionaire or to heal yourself from every disease known to man. Or make yourself famous somehow. All these things will pass. These things come and go. You experience one then the other. You want to become totally free. Totally, absolutely free and liberated. You want to know that you're all-pervading. There's nothing but the Self, which is you. Nothing else exists. For the Self is absolute reality, self-contained absolute reality. The Self is bliss, nirvana, I am. This is what you are right now. This is your true nature right now. This is reality right now. Do not give your energy to this world. Well, the whole world is a cosmic joke, remember. And it will suck your energy out, make you weak, make you start searching for remedies, solutions to your problems. You will go through life after life doing these things. The time is now. There's no other time but now. Now is the time to become totally free and liberated. Awaken. Or you were never asleep. Awaken from the mortal dream. Let not another day go by where you react to people, places, and things. Quit it. Stop it. Do not react to your own body, your own feelings. Quit it. Stop it. Understand who you really are. Stick with it. Do not look for time. Do not consider how long it takes. For most of you know by now there is no time. Time is a relative concept. It has no basis, no foundation. Look at yourself without time. Feel yourself without time. This means there never was a time when you were human. There never was a time when you were a sinner. There never was a time when you had a past. There will never be a time when there's a future. You are all there is right now. All there ever was, all there will ever be, is right where you are right this minute. What about that? That is you. What do you see? And what do you feel? You must stop feeling sorry for yourself. You don't compare yourself with anyone. Leave the world alone. Leave everybody alone, leave things alone. Nothing can ever hurt you if you not resist. If you do not resist the condition cannot hurt you. The condition can only hurt you when you resist it. You are through playing games. You are through trying to become something, trying to get enlightened. Forget about that. It's just another game. You are imperishable consciousness. Right now, the immutable self, this is your real nature, this is you. Rejoice, for you are free. Feel free to ask questions.
Like work is something that must be attended to. I have to find a job. I have to chase leads down that could produce work. I get the feeling sometimes when I listen, as I listen to you talk, that I would be homeless, that I would be without work, without means.
Have the attitude that it's not you that's doing anything. You're under the door. If you have to go get a job, your body will get a job. It will know what to do by itself. Do not get involved with the action of the body. Everything will be taken care of by itself. The power that maintains the same as the universe knows what to do to make you happy. And to give you goodness and happiness and love. Therefore, when you stand in your heart, when you surrender to the heart, when you meditate in the heart, everything will take care of itself. You'll go get the job that you have to get, but you'll not be the doer. You'll no longer say, I have to get a job. For the I will have been transcended. Look at how I left. Yet your body will pay to get a job and work, and you have an income. Everything will be done in a beautiful way. Much better than you can ever do it yourself. So don't worry about these things. Simply go into yourself. Know who you are. Find yourself. And do not believe that you're the I. You ask for a job. But focus on your heart. Realize you are consciousness, all pervading. And whatever has to get a job will get a job. Whatever has to be done will be done. Everything will always be taken care of.
Robert, when you were talking about removing the wall, what I heard you saying was just to allow thoughts to go back into consciousness. That they arose
out.
Is there anything more to that?
Well, see what. If all your thoughts go into consciousness and disappear, what else can you have asked for? It's very simple. No thoughts and you're free. When the walls remove, the thoughts go into consciousness by themselves. And you're free.
And the wall is just thinking that there's a separation there.
Exactly. The wall is the eye. The wall is the eye thought.
Thinking that there's somebody to do something between thoughts and consciousness.
Yes.
Start to do something, and then all of a sudden my mind's blank, and I'm like standing there saying, now what was I just starting to do? And I might stand there for a minute or two before I my mind starts to, oh yeah, this is what I was going to do.
You're losing your mind, Howard.
Hallelujah.
I think that's good.
Do you think it's good?
I'm asking you, Howard.
Never mind what I say. What do you say?
Well, you say annihilate the mind, so I guess it's good.
And no, I said, well, what you think, not what I think.
Well, I try not to think.
That's good. So you have to do is not think and you're saying.
I'll let you think for me, you see.
I don't think either.
Because you're getting nowhere.
There's no one who thinks, what are you going to do now?
I mentioned this before, but it seems to me that if I spend time thinking a person, a place, or a thing should be different than it is, I'm spinning my wheels.
True. Sure.
Every person, every place, and everything has a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
it's not up to me to change it or even think it should be different than it is.
Exactly.
And that goes for Mother Teresa or Dr. Schweitzer or Adolf Hitler or Charlie Manson. They're all part of the show.
You're right.
Thank you.
Exactly. So why get caught up in it?
Sir?
Why get caught up in it?
Well, I don't know. Well, I had to say something.
If you leave something alone, it'll disappear. If you give it energy by thinking about it, by pondering it, it becomes stronger. If you leave everything alone, you'll be free. Try to change things or keep things the way they are, they don't suffer. Both part of it too at different times. We're talking about removing the wall, which is the isolate that's been there for centuries, the illusory wall that doesn't exist between consciousness and thoughts. When there's no longer a wall there, then the thoughts disappear by themselves of their own accord. But as long as there's a wall there, it'll come up against the wall and it'll bounce back again. And the mind will become stronger and stronger and stronger because it'll keep bouncing back again every time it hits the wall. So you have to simply see the wall breaking up in your consciousness. If you want to practice self-inquiry, which is you can inquire, to whom does this wall come? Who sees this wall? Who has to get rid of it? And you realize that the wall doesn't even exist. For you will say, I see the wall. I have to get rid of this wall. When all the time the eye is really the wall itself. So when you realize the eyesore doesn't exist, it's the same as getting rid of the wall. By inquiring, who am I, you're really saying, who's responsible for the wall? Where did the wall come from? You can go both ways. Play with it. See what you get. See what happens. But the wall, the name for the wall is the ego, the I thought. I had a lady who used to imagine that there's dynamite blowing up the wall, that she's lighting the fuse and dynamite, and the whole wall is being blown to smithereens. Use your imagination to get rid of the wall. Mary, were you on your day, honey?
Yes, Robert. For a young who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He is firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. That is all full, all pure, timeless, consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by Yani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience.
Well, I'm having this meeting here with Robert Adams.
I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom, absolute. A Yani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Do we have any announcements?
Yes, I do. I mean, unless somebody else is first. We have our latest transcript, number 93, called Trust the Power That Knows the Way. And I would like to pass out 5 of these. If you could make 10 copies of them, I would appreciate it very much. Thank you, Emilio. The last Sunday of November. and one the last Sunday in December. And we have a paper on the table there. If you would like to sign up, whatever you'd like to bring, you can see Sue and John. So we're kind of coordinating this so it all runs smoothly. So it is vegetarian too, please.
At 1 o'clock?
It's at 1 o'clock. There'll be entertainment and always lots of good food. We always have lots of good food at the Bendar, so feel free to come, bring your friends and family if you'd like.
And Mama said you can bring our girlfriends.
Definitely.
My wife complains that I go to Harvard.
Also on the Thanksgiving Day class will be on Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, yes, that's right. Classes won't be on Thursday because of Thanksgiving, so we will come on Wednesday of that week. So everybody remember.
Anything else anybody has to say?
Will forever hold your peace.
It is therefore time for prasad. The reason you all came. We've got some lovely figs. They're high in calcium, high in potassium, high in fiber.
It's going to get you high.
Get high, right? We have more figs.
Fig newtons.
Made with whole wheat flour, honey, and molasses.